It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right, today, as we continue to move through, this is your first one. Make sure you go back. We're hitting all 50 states. Today, we're heading down to LA, not the West Coast one, the South Coast one. We're heading to Louisiana, one of my favorite states. Of course, if you love food, it would always be one of your favorite states down here in Louisiana. So help me welcome Mr. Brad Womack. He's going to talk to us about the outdoor state meet qualifying. Brad, thanks for being here and thanks for representing Louisiana today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's start out with a introduction, kind of a 30,000 foot level of your coaching background.
Well, I'm originally, I don't know if how many of your people know how of Louisiana, but I'm originally from Lafayette, Louisiana, home of the Raging Cajuns. That's where I went to college. And I moved to the New Orleans area right after graduation. Didn't really know anybody in the area. Kind of got into some high school refereeing, just to kind of get introduced to the schools and kind of meet coaches and things like that. And then a coaching position opened up at the school I'm at currently, Patrick Taylor Academy. At the time, it was a brand new school. I think when I got there, it was their second year of participating in varsity athletics. It's a, we are the number one ranked academic school in Louisiana. So we have a little bit of, I would say difficulty. We just have to take whoever comes to our school. So we are, the kids have to test in. So they test in to get to the school. So whoever shows up is kind of who we coach. So I've been coaching there since 2006, seven, somewhere around there. I was originally hired as the assistant track coach and the head cross country coach. And we had a little bit of success in cross country. We won a state championship in 2013. We were runner ups in the year before. We lost that by 2 points. That was heartbreaking. I was hoping to go back to back, but ended up just being won that 13 title. Had some pretty good success on the local level as, you know, for our school. We were at the time, we were a very small school. We've grown since then. And then, I've been the head track and cross country coach for the past maybe 10 to 12 years. This past year, I gave up cross country because I'm also the athletic director. So the schedule got a little bit too much to handle in the beginning of the year, because in Louisiana, we do cross country in the fall. So it was too much with football and, you know, everything else going on in the beginning of the school year. So I kind of handed my baby over finally. But we've had in track and cross country, we've had 17 individual state champions. So this past year, I had a girl who she committed and she's running now for UL Lafayette. She won the 100 and the 200. The year before that, I had a girl win the 800 in track. She's at Creighton University now. And she also won the state individual cross country championship. So I've been pretty lucky to have some kids who enjoy running. They've been good at it. I've had some, you know, luck with some coaches I've had that worked with me that have helped those kids, and parents have been supportive of our program. So that's kind of where I stand on the, you know, how I got into this thing and how, what's going on with me.
Well, as a Troy Trojan, I appreciate the Raging Cajun.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Brad, let's get into the state of Louisiana. Let's start off with, you know, some states have a different organizing body for private schools and public schools. They do them completely separate. Some people do them all together. I know we have a great mixture of public and private schools in the great state of Louisiana. How do we do it, private and public schools in your town, your state?
Well, we're governed by the Louisiana High School Athletic Association, LHSAA. And about 10 years ago, there was a lot of stink, is a good way to put it, between the privates and the public schools. And there was a proposal at the convention to split private and public schools. So it was, at the time, it was just for football, because we had a lot of coaches. They were saying the public schools couldn't compete with the private schools, you know, just because of funding and how things are run. So that passed, and then the next year they added basketball, and then they added baseball, softball. So it's been, and since that time, it's been a fight to try to get us back together, because it's, we've had, like, on a, for a state championship in football, there were, there's classes A through five, you know, 1A through 5A. And then for basketball, there's CB 1A through 5A. But then when they split it, they were also divisions. So they had, we had about 9 state championships we were doing in those sports a year. So it was very watered down. And so, and then we had division sports that are smaller sports like volleyball and things like that, that they competed against each other. And track and field was the only sport that remained together. Privates and public. So that was the only one that kind of held strong. And we were always very proud of that as track coaches, that the track schools stayed together, because they're, you know, you can either run or you can throw, you know, this doesn't matter kind of what you got, you know, just kind of who you are, and you're good, and you've got good coaches, you're going to get the job done. So
that's
right. So we think this year that there, that looks like there's been a lot of push. We had a recent vote recently to define what a select school was. It's been a mess. Yeah. Our school is considered a select school because we have selective admissions, but it is a public school. It is a, you know, we get funding from the, you know, from federal government, from our local and state government. So the only, you know, we're considered select because we have selective admissions. Sure. We don't technically, like, I couldn't say, oh, you're, you know, you can run a 10.3, you know, once you come to my school, it doesn't work. They have to test at a neutral site. And there's 3 other high schools that are select, like the same kind of thing as us. And they can choose to go into any one of those schools, or they can say, you know, our school's full, we don't have any opening. So it's, so we're select without the luxury of actually selecting kids. So, so that's kind of how we do the breakdown of how the state does things. But track is, has remained a strictly CB 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A thing. So it's been pretty good as far as that is concerned. Indoor, they just break it up, indoor track, into 2 divisions. It's like Division 1 and Division 2. And one is the bigger schools, 5 and 4. And then the smaller schools are all in another 3 through C.
So private and public, we're all going 1. You started going into my second question. That's a track coach right there going into it. Let's go over that again to make sure we heard that right. So how many classes, we're talking about outdoor strict typically here. Okay. You explained indoor. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You gave a little bonus material. I love that.
Right.
But for outdoor, let's go over those classes again. How many
classes? Okay, so class C is the smallest one. That's the schools that are very rural, and they might have up to 75 kids in the whole school.
Okay, class C.
Then we have class B, and that goes up to about 125. And 1A is exact same enrollment classification as B, except the only difference is the 1A schools have football. Hmm. The B schools who don't have football, they can start their basketball season earlier. So that's why they separate the two. So they since they don't have any kind of football in their area, their kids aren't waiting till almost the end of the first 9 weeks before they can start participating and stuff. So they start basketball earlier in B. And then it all goes up, like 5A is the biggest one. It's around 1,000 on up for them. And then it just incrementally kind of depends on the number of schools. We always get schools adding and stuff, but we're a 3A school. And we max, like, we're having our 9 through 12s, we are about 450, and 3A goes up to about like 600.
So I'm hearing class C, B, 1A, 2, 3, 4, 5A.
Yes.
So what we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 7 class. So we're earning 7 boys state championship team titles and 7 girls championship team. All right, perfect. Awesome. And class C is our small. We go up to 5A is our large.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about how we get to that state meet. Every state's a little different. We have 100 different names for these meets: sectionals, areas, districts, you name it. What's the first round of the state qualifying series there in Louisiana?
The first round is the district championship, and that's based on they reclassify every 2 years based on enrollment and the number of schools in your general area who have that enrollment kind of close proximity or in your district. Our district, we have 6 boys schools and we have 8 girls schools in our district. So we have 2 schools that are all in our district who are all girls. So we typically one school will host the district track meet. My school is typically the one who does it. We don't have a track on our campus, but we're parishes in Louisiana, not county. So our parish has a couple of stadiums with tracks and everything we need. So we get it for free. If another school would rent it, they would have to pay for it. So I get designated because it's free for me and I can make money on the gate and the concession. So I have no problem doing that.
So districts, let's stay in districts real quick. How do I'm going to say qualify for districts, but if it's the first round, that means it's an open meet, but you must have, you can only put 2 people in each event or 4. How many can we do there?
Okay. So, so it's 2 individuals from each school per event. We seed it based on recorded automatic timing from the season. So they have to submit, it's all done through mile split, basically. You know, they take their stuff from there. And my timing guy who I work with for a lot of meets, he seeds everything for me. And then depending on how many kids we have, it'll be heats, but usually our district isn't very big. So we pretty much, usually, unless it's like the 100, we probably just have 1 heat for everything, but it's seeded. And then the top 4 finishers in each event are the ones who move on to the regional meet. It's top 4 and and the 5th place is an alternate.
Okay. So we have these districts throughout the state where each school can enter 2 per event. And then we're going to host districts and top 4 from each of those districts goes to a regionals. And then you said 5th place is
an alternate. So if somebody pulls out with an injury or something, there's a certain date they have to let that team know and the district chairperson, which I'm also the district chairperson. Somebody so-and-so's pulled out, then I'll have to contact the school who's got the kid who's the alternate, let them know they're going to be competing in the regional meet.
So districts to regionals. And now I've gotten the top 4 of each event from all these different districts. How do we do regionals? What's the next round and how many go on to that next round?
So regionals is the state divides each classification up into 3. The states divide into 3 regions. So in each classification, you have region 1, 2, and 3. So we're in, we're district 9, 3A, and we're in region 3. Mm-hmm. So all those schools who are in our region, whoever won the year before is the host the next year, unless they have something where like I can't host, something, and we'll rotate between girls team winning 1 year is the host, boys team the winner is the next host. So that's kind of how everybody does it. It's not really it's more of a gentleman's agreement, ladies agreement that it's done that way. We've never really had any problems with it. But that's just kind of how it's done. So when we get to the regional meet, same thing. The times, marks, everything are automatically sent through mile split to the regional host. And that's obviously a bigger meet then because you're going to have each district is probably made up of 8 to 10 schools. So it's an all day affair. But typically, like our meet is at a high school track. The regional meet has been at different places. I've had regional meets at At Southern University in Baton Rouge. We've had regional meets at small little tracks in the middle of nowhere. It just kind of depends on the host team, their facility, or if they can manage to rent a facility, something like that. So it just kind of depends on the school, but that's kind of how, when I was in high school in Lafayette, we ran our regional meet at UL. So, you know, it just kind of depends on where you're, you know, what your region's made up of. But
so what's our goal in regionals to go to the next round? And what is that? Is that next round?
Next round is state. Okay. We go district, region, then state.
All right. So how many, what are we shooting for in regionals so that we can go to the state meet?
Top three finishers make it to state. And then and the fourth is an alternate, same as it was like, so.
Yeah, an alternate.
Typically not many people drop out unless it's a severe injury before state. So that's usually not really a problem.
And you're saying alternate, not wild cards, not next three fastest. You are just an alternate if someone happens to drop out.
So you're probably just going to be there all day watching and not going to get to compete at all.
brutal. Yeah. Brutal. All right, we go to the state meet. So talk to us about the state meet. Is it generally in the same venue every year? Do all, what do we say, seven classes here? Do all seven classes do it on the same weekend, the same venue? Are they spread out? How are we doing the state meet?
Okay, so the state meet every year is at LSU in Baton Rouge. It's a beautiful facility. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's very, you know, they do. So it's 3 days. They do Thursday. They do class, the B, C, and 1A schools on the Thursday. This is like May, around May, the first weekend in May, pretty much. So they do Thursday to do CB and 1A. And then day two, they do class 2A, the para, and 3A. Okay. And then Saturday is when like the big 4 and 5A schools compete.
When you're saying Friday is CB and 1A, are you saying so prelims, finals, the whole, like we're giving out
everything is
the
that
state
day.
Trophy is happening on Friday.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, you know, when you go there, all right, this is
somebody's coming home with a trophy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So how many for regionals, you said there's three. So are we doing, and we're taking top three. So does that mean we're running one heat, one flight of every event?
Three through nine, like they have a 9-lane track. We go, you know, all of, you know, it's really, they don't do prelims in state. They just go, they do it in the indoor, but not outdoor. Mm-hmm. And it's just straight. You got one race to prove who you are.
That's how they're able to do CB and 1A all in one day. Cause it's like, right. Well, not two heats of the 100. There's one and there's your state there's champion. One. Now we're going to move to the 200 and there's one, there's your state champion and there's your points. And we're going to,
They'll go. So like at a state meet, they'll go, so like our classification is 2A and 3A on a Friday. So if it's the 200, they're going to say, all right, the 200 meters for class 2A girls, then they're going to do 2A boys. Then they're going to go 3A girls and then 3A boys. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the kids cross the line, they walk over to a raised podium. They make their announcement, they hand them their medal, and then it's on to the, it's quick. It really does, you know, you would think that a state championship would take a long time, but they've got it. LSU does a great job with their, they use all LSU officials.
A great officiating crew.
So it is not like it's, you know, some coaches who may or may not know what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's professionals who would do a great job with it. You know, it's done first class.
Awesome. You mentioned, that was going to be my next question. Again, you're ahead of me all the ways. I was going to ask, you know, it's becoming more and more common, and we highly, highly encourage this for adaptive or wheelchair events. You mentioned that somewhere in the 2A, 3A group, I think you said.
Right. 2A and 3A on that day, they do a Paralympic stuff. It's usually not that many kids. It's a lot of wheelchair stuff. But they do it at that time. Sometimes I've been to it sometimes where the kids just competing by them, like a one kid doing an event. But there have been times where there's been two or three in an event. And so they do have, they cut out a period of time. If it's the same event, if it's they're doing the 200 for the able-bodied people, they do a 200 at the same time for the Paralympics, not Paralympics, but para athletes as well. So they incorporated into the state championship as well.
That's awesome. Good for Louisiana. I love to hear that. Some states, especially the ones that have, you know, multiple divisions, might run an unofficial. I have not seen a actually, I do know there is one official, but mostly it's an unofficial meet of champs a week later where they invite the state champ from the CB, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5A, and we're going to run one heat and we're going to find out who the air quotes here, 200 meter champion or pole vaulter is. Anything like that in Louisiana?
They don't, they do it. They do a meet, but it's at the beginning of the next year. I know it's kind of because some people have graduated and stuff. So that, I know we never said Louisiana is smart. They do a meet of champs, usually the, like I said, in the beginning of the following year, where they, I guess it's to kind of see the up and coming rising seniors, how they are going to compete and things like that. I mentioned my girl who's now at UL, she won the 100 and 200. She had a horrible season the year before and wasn't on anybody's radar, really. She got put in it must have been in regionals. She got put in, I think some people the timing wasn't what they said it was. Mm-hmm. She got put in the second heat and she won her heat, but her time, she was competing against like no one. And she ended up not qualifying for state. And so she wasn't really on anyone's radar. And then at the state meet, she hadn't lost a race all season. She'd been doing really well, and you know, she won the 100 and 200. Then UL coach came up to me and he goes, "Where is she going?" And she was only like to a small D3 school, and he's like, "I have a scholarship, you know, let me talk to her." And she's there now, but there does need to be an additional meet at the end of the year to kind of let some kids see that they, you know, they can compete, because she ended up having the fastest time in the state in all classifications. So that would have been a great race to see her compete against the best in the state, where she could have gone against some of those 5A schools and really shown people what she's made of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Doing the meet of champs the beginning of next year. That's a good one.
Right.
That's a good one.
After you've graduated.
All right. The next question is a little bit harder, because I want to ask what unique events you do, but they're not unique to you. They are what you do. So I'm going to ask it a different way this time. So I'm going to kind of put these in groups, and some of them are going to be pretty obvious. So right off the bat, I know we're doing the 1, 2, 4, 8, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Are we doing the 16 and the 32, or do we do the 15, 3000, the mile, 2 mile? What do we do there?
We do 16, 32.
1632. You do both hurdles. We do the 300 hurdles, not the 400.
Correct.
All right.
300 hurdles and the 110 or 100 for girls.
Yep. Perfect. Let's do the relay. So I know you're doing 4x1 and 4x4, because if you're not doing 4x4, you're not doing track and field. Are we doing any other relays?
Yes, we do the, let's see, what do we do now? We do the 4x8 now. Mm-hmm. And let's see, we do the 100. We do the 4x1, the 4x2, the 4x4, and the 4x8.
Okay, so you're doing a 4x2 as well, which is about, it's probably 60-40 on the 4x2. Not everybody.
Really?
Doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said we're now doing the 4x8. Is that fairly new?
Yeah, it is. It's only been maybe 3 or 4 years now we've been doing it. 1 year they started it with just the big schools. It was a proposal as a way for, because if you had a great, you know, district distance program, you really only had two events where you could earn points with those distance kids. So there was a proposal at the state convention. We have crazy proposals every year, but sometimes they're good stuff, to add the 4x8 to the program for the 5A schools. And then I guess it was kind of a pilot year. Mm-hmm. You could do it in your invitationals and things like that on your smaller schools, but when it was district and district all the way up the state, you weren't doing it. And then the following year, they added it to all the levels to do the 4x8.
I grew up thinking the 4x8 was in every state. And I'm quickly finding out that's not true, but a lot have been adding it recently. In this, you said 3 to 4 year block, there's been probably several states that have added that. So I love that. All right, let's jump to the field events. We're doing long jump and triple jump for both. We got some great triple jumpers in Louisiana. Of course, we're doing that. We're doing the shot put and discus, of course. We're doing the pole vault and high jump. Yes.
Yes.
All right. What else are we doing? Because I know we
do the javelin.
Another unique one. Javelin. All right.
Javelin. Yep. Yeah.
Long tradition of the javelin in the state of Louisiana. Any other, I don't want to say crazy, unique events, hammer, sprint, medley, relay, we're standing.
No, none of those are official. Like there definitely is no hammer. But we do sprint medley relays at some of our earlier track meets for fun, not in as far as like, state meets and anything like that.
In some states will host kind of like this meet of champs idea, but they'll host a unofficial state meet for heptathlon, decathlon, or javelin. But you do that officially or hammer, anything like that in Louisiana?
No, we don't really. And we just do like in the beginning, like I said, we kind of do a, there's a school that hosts every year a relays, and we do pretty much sprint medley, distance medley, mixed relays. Just in the beginning of the year, because you really don't know, you know, when it's, you're trying to figure out what your team's made up, and it's fun. Kids get to do different things. Sometimes we throw in like a big guy relay for the big kids, and that's, you know, everybody loves those. They're funny and fun to do.
I'm waiting for the first state to have an official big guys relay to figure out how in the world you police.
Right, them. You got to have a weight limit, a weight classifications.
Okay, help us settle a debate. In Louisiana, at least in your area, in your culture, are you, when you talk about it with your team, are you trying to go to the state meet? Are you trying to qualify for states? Are you trying to qualify for state? How do you say it? It's said differently everywhere.
I had a one of my old coaches I worked with. She's from North Carolina, and she went to Coastal. She ran at Coastal Carolina. And she would always say, "We're trying to get to states," and I'm like, "It's only one state. It's only." And I was like, "No, it's just we're trying to qualify for state." And we would always, it was, you know, the fun thing back and forth. But we just say, you know, trying to get to state, not state, not plural.
Love it. I love that you had someone trying to throw in,
trying to infiltrate our ways.
I like that. All right, Brad. Well, as your reward or maybe your punishment for representing Louisiana here, I'm going to give you a magic wand, and you can change any one thing in the state qualifying system. That could be an event, it could be venue, it could be order of events. If one way you would think that would improve the Louisiana outdoor track and field system, what would that be?
I think qualifying a qualifying mark that it would make the state meet a longer event than the one day. But we have, sometimes you have regions that are really slow, and those kids get in and it's like, man, my fourth and fifth kid are better than that kid who's out there. And sometimes you get into these districts that are regions that are stacked, and like the state champion comes out of those every year. And you can't quite crack that nut because they've just got a stranglehold on it. And if you could have like an automatic qualifier that would get you in, I think that would be good to grow the sport and give more kids an opportunity to kind of see what the state meets about and compete and be able to compete, not just a person out there who's, you know, kind of going through the motions and is not, you know, they just come from a poor district or something.
I love it. That is one of the more common magic wands, if you will. There's always a talk about the stacked region, the stacked district, et cetera, where we leave a kid behind. It's like, oh, that kid could have gotten fourth for crying out loud, but because they were fourth in their region, they stay home. That's a common one. Well, Brad, my man, thank you so much. This was awesome. Very interesting. Learn about the state of Louisiana and how you uniquely do it. I love that you had the javelin, and I love that you added the 4x8. That is awesome. We're just so happy and proud of all the coaches in Louisiana, and so grateful for you representing that great state with us today in this fun little project that we're working on. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you. I appreciate you publicizing the sport. It always needs a little bit more pub than it gets.
That's right. You deserve it. Absolutely.
Thank you. Appreciate it.